And the rest of us will be in Luke chapter number 10. If you would, find your place, Luke chapter number 10. And when you find your place, if you wouldn't mind to stand, we'll read our passage this morning, Luke chapter 10. Verse number 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that being Jesus and the disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Talking to Jesus, "Dost thou not care?" I think he cares. "That my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Questioning Jesus, scolding Jesus, commanding Jesus, scolding Mary, who is doing what she ought to. How do we get to this place? We're going to learn about that today. Verse 41. And Jesus answered, so gracious, said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, one thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus says, "I am not sending Mary into the kitchen. She's where she's supposed to be, in my feet." Let's pray. We'll get into our message this morning. First things first. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. God, help us to understand the importance of your word, Lord, the gravity, the importance of being able to hear from you, to learn from your word. Help us to understand the priority that it deserves today. Help me to explain it in a way that's understandable. Help us all, God, as we hear from you, Lord, to be willing to change, conform into the image of your Son. Lord, there are some here this morning that are not saved, that have not had their sins forgiven. I pray, God, that you would work in their heart. Help them see their need. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So a German philosopher named Goethe, that's how you say it, Goethe, said this: "Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least." Say that again. "Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least." You know, the more you think about that statement, the more profound that statement becomes, doesn't it? We all know what he means by the things that matter most, don't we? We know. But how often do we find ourselves caught up in the whirlwind of daily tasks, allowing the urgent little things of life to overshadow and really replace the important things? We do that. We live in a world that is constantly demanding our attention. From work commitments to family obligations to social activities to school activities. Honestly, even the distractions of literally all of the world's problems at our fingertip. At any moment, we can be distracted, can't we? Life can get busy. I didn't say we're always busy with things we should be busy with, but we get busy, don't we, in this life. And it's easy to let the busyness of life distract us from the things that truly matter. Hey, we might start the day with good intentions, but by the end of the day, we find that we've been pulled in 100 different directions, distracted by this problem and this problem and this problem, and leaving little room for what really is most important. And you know, this isn't a new problem at all. Just because technology here, it doesn't mean that now we have this issue. There's actually a classic time management illustration, and we're going to do it today, okay? Are you ready? All right. Like this. All right. So we have these rocks. Now, some of you might be familiar with this, some of you don't. So if you take the big rock, you put it in, okay? Can you see that, okay? There's a big rock in it. And then you take all these pretty good-sized rocks, throw them all in. Make sure we stack them nice and neat in there. All right. Then you take these rocks, put them all in there. All right. It's okay that this is taking a long time. It's good for us. You gotta shake it every time. Get them all in the crevices. Check it out. Boom! All fits, huh? Nice, nice. So if you start with the big rocks, and then you put the smaller, the next big rocks, and then the smaller rocks, all is well. Watch this. Ready? Cover your ears. All right. Check this out. Put all the little rocks in first. This is how most of us live our life. We put all the little rocks in. Social media, video games, I don't know, going out to eat. Get all these big rocks out of the way. I wanted to be nice to our fancy pulpit. So when you put all the little rocks in first, bear with me. Hold on. Careful, pulpit. Be nice to the pulpit. So nice. These look good. All right. Careful. 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 All right. There we go. You dump in the little rocks first. And then you start putting in these kind of good-sized rocks, right? All of a sudden, there's no room for the big rock. See it? Hold on. This all fit before. But now all of a sudden I can't get it all to fit. And you say, well, yeah, Pastor, I knew exactly where you were going that whole time. That makes total sense. I already knew you could have just said it. Okay, but here's the thing. That does make logical sense. But we live this way. Why do we always put the most important things last? We live life first things last, don't we? First things last. And then we try to get it, we try to shove it in, and we live frustrated life. And it's like, look, this is important to me, I'm putting it in. Problem is, it's important to you, but you're putting it in too late. This is important to you. Listen, there's a difference between the important things being important to you and the important things being priorities to you. And we think that just because we throw in important things at some point in our life, that it's all good. And we say, I'm trying. This is important to me. I'm doing my best. But it's not fair. I just can't get it to fit. No, the reason it doesn't fit is because you decided to do all the things that don't really matter first, and then some things that are kind of important you need to do eventually, and then throw the priorities in last. Always room for those. And that illustration, it's an illustration that's been used in time management for decades and centuries, really. It's used primarily for CEOs, for business leaders, who are frustrated because they can't accomplish the big rock. They have good intentions, and they know what their job is, and they try to do it, and they want to be successful, and they work hard, and they're always putting stuff in, they're always doing something, but they can't ever seem to get the important things done. They're always doing something, but they can't seem to accomplish what it is they were actually supposed to do in the first place. And so this classic illustration is used to show them what's happening. Here's the point of this. If they don't prioritize what is truly important and do the first things first, their days will be consumed by less important, less significant menial tasks. And so what do they need to do? In a business, as a CEO who wants to run their company well, you have to identify your big rocks. This is what they tell you. Identify the big rocks. Identify what's the most important thing. Identify what you're trying to do with your company. They'll ask questions like this. What are the things that must get done in order that your business to be successful? What has to be done? Whatever those things are. Engaging with their clients, big rock. Strategic planning. Planning for the vision of the future of the company. If you don't do that, it's going to fall flat. Training, developing other leaders in the company. Whatever it is, here's what they say because of this illustration. You've got to put those things in your schedule. As you look at your week, make sure first you have on your schedule time for these things. I'm going to give this block of time for strategic planning, vision. I'm going to give this time right here. We are going, this is non-negotiable, going to train some leaders. We're going to do this and that. And the big rocks, I'm going to spend some time with the clients. I'm going to get to know my clients. And they have to put those things in their calendar first, and then after that, the other tasks that still need to get done. But if you start just doing these, if you're not careful, in the end you'll get all the things that are important, but then you'll not get the main thing done. How are we doing? If they're not careful, they'll get caught up with emails, paperwork, administrative tasks, and they'll never get to the big rock. See it? You know, the same principle. This is a true principle of life. And it applies even to families in your personal lives, doesn't it? Hey, if we don't prioritize what matters most? Family time, our health, developing relationships with those around us. If we don't prioritize, not just that they're important, it is a big rock in our life, we recognize it, but if we don't make it important and make it priority, then there's a good chance we're going to find ourselves spending our days on tasks that seem urgent, but leave us feeling unfulfilled, leave us feeling disconnected from what truly matters. And you know what will happen is, you'll have this feeling of being overwhelmed, and you'll feel like you're constantly spinning your tires and you're always trying and trying, but getting nowhere and all the important things aren't getting done. And you look back in your day and you're like, what could I have cut out? I was working the whole time. I wasn't just laying down doing nothing. I wasn't playing video games. I was trying. I was working. But here's the problem. You weren't putting the big things first. You weren't putting first things first. And you allowed the rest of life to consume you. Hey, I'm convinced that most parents want to be good parents to their kids. I'm convinced of that. You look around and you see kids who are on their own, doing their own thing. You see kids who aren't being raised hardly. And we can sometimes get frustrated. But I'm convinced that even those parents, they want to be good parents. And they know how important it is to spend time with their kids. And they know how important it is to train their kids. And they know how important it is to make lasting memories with their kids. But listen, if you don't make it a priority, it's not enough that it matters to you. You ask the parent, they'll tell you that it matters to them. But if you don't make it priority, and if you don't make a plan to spend time with your kids, then you can easily let the busyness of life distract you, and even useless things like social media, useless things like video games, can keep you from doing the most important thing. You see it? Are you seeing that? And so what do you need to do? You need to make time for your kids first as a parent. And then let the rest of life trickle in and shake in. And if you do that, if you put the important things first, then everything will fit. You see? Everything will fit. Same is true about a marriage. You don't make time with your spouse a priority. If you don't put first things first, if you're not careful, it's not going to be long until you allow the busyness of life to pull you apart. You never wanted that. You've always wanted a good marriage. You've always wanted it to work well. But if you don't make it, there's a difference between something. Listen, there's a difference between something being important to you and having it priority in your life. Are you seeing it? How about your health? Nobody wants to be unhealthy. right? Everybody recognizes how important it is to keep your health. You see people who struggle health-wise and how it affects their life. You want to be healthy. Everybody does. But if you don't make it a priority and schedule it and put it as a part of your life, there's a good chance you're going to let the business of life knock your health right out the window. And you'll lose your health. You'll lose your health. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing the principle? It's a principle. Now, we all understand how important a family is. We all understand how important our health is. But listen, this morning, we're not here for that necessarily. There's something even more important than that. It's your walk with God. It's your relationship with God. When you talk to people and you ask them, hey, how important is God to you? Oh, He's everything to me. He's important to me. I love God. My whole life's about God. Okay, I'm telling you, I believe you. But there's a difference between making God important and making God your priority. And we know that this doesn't work, and it makes sense that this doesn't work, but somehow the priority always comes last. And you say, well, He's important to me, yeah, but He's not priority. And so it's not going to fit. Nothing will fit. Everything will be off kilter. And you'll be anxious, and you'll be troubled, and you'll be spread about every direction if you don't put first things first. You know, knowing God is your entire purpose for living. Knowing God is your entire purpose for living. God created you. He made you. And why did He make you? He created you to know Him. That's why you exist. You don't exist to climb the corporate ladder. You don't exist to retire well. Let me just tell you this. You don't really exist to be the best parent ever. You exist for one reason, and it's to know God. Here's your priority. Your family. Your job. How about this? Ministry at church. Good things in your life. They're not the priority. Those things flow out of what is the one thing Jesus says that is needful, and that is knowing Him. You see? Look what He says. Jesus says there's only one big rock. Now, typically when you do this illustration, there's two or three huge rocks. And what they tell, you know, the CEOs, find out those two or three things that your business is for, you know? That if you accomplish those three things, you're successful. But Jesus says, in the Christian life, it's even easier than that. Just one big rock. One big rock. One big rock. Look at verse 42. Jesus said this, but one thing is needful. One thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part. What is it? That shall not be taken away from you. She, listen, here's what she did. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Jesus says, sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His word is the most important thing, but really it's more than that. It's the only thing that is needful. The only thing you need is to know God. Everything else, hey, you get the big rock in the pitcher, you did it. But if you get the big rock in the picture, I'm scared to do this again. Should we do it again? If you get the big rock in the pitcher, then you can start adding a family life that matters. You can start adding a job. You can start adding a career. You can start saving for 401k. You can serve the Lord at church. You can do all these different things. But these things are not, hey, none of these are needed. Only one thing is needed, and it is to know God. And if you know God, you know what's going to happen. All of these other things are going to be a lot better. And they're not going to be frustrating to you. They're not going to make your life anxious and worrisome, because here's why. Here's the only reason you're anxious and overburdened. It's because you can't know God well. No matter how hard you try it, you come to church every Sunday and you read your Bible and you do it, but you're never going to know Him well. And if you don't know Him well, you will be anxious. I don't care how much other rocks you have in this thing. There's only one thing that's needed, and it is to know God well. It is priority. It is priority. Yeah. It is the rock that must be in place before anything else can fit. See it? And it really doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how good the other rocks are. You will live a frustrated, anxious life if you can't get the big rock in there. See it? And you cannot get the big rock in there unless it's first. No, you can't. Oh, hold on. You can't do your work, do your job, take care of your family, and then God. You'll be frustrated. You can't take care of your family, then God, then work. You'll be frustrated. God first. Family, work. How are we doing? Any other way, frustrated, overwhelmed, burdened, anxious, cumbered, troubled, full of care. But Mary was doing the right thing, wasn't she? And Luke places this story right here for a reason. I told you that up from here until the 19th chapter, remember what Jesus is doing? He's heading down to Jerusalem, remember that? And they're making their way to Jerusalem. And that trip only takes a week or so by foot, but it took about 6 months. Kind of sounds like Pastor Chad's preaching. Amen? All right? And the reason why Jesus is taking so long to get to Jerusalem is because he's taking this time from here all the way until chapter 19 to teach. Over these next several chapters, you'll notice this. The emphasis is on teaching. The emphasis is on hearing from Christ. Miracles and all that, they take a back seat. They're barely mentioned from this point on because right here, it's all about teaching. Class is in session. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's going to teach us on prayer. He's going to teach us about Satan and more about the demons. He's going to teach us about divine judgment, about hypocrisy, about persecution, about suffering, about the Holy Spirit. He's going to warn us about greed. He's going to teach us about contentment, about how to use your money, about how to give, about how to be a steward. There's going to be lessons on unity, lessons on righteousness, lessons on holiness. There's going to be instruction on divine justice, on humility, on pride, on the cost to following Christ, on the kingdom of God and how to enter it. He's going to teach us about how heaven rejoices when sinners are saved. He's even going to teach us about divorce, about hell, about forgiveness, about faith. It's awesome. This is going to be an amazing journey to Jerusalem. And listen, I want you to understand this. What could possibly be more important to you than learning from Christ? It's exactly what we do here, Sunday mornings, 10:30. By the way, Sunday school, 9:30. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. What we do is we open the Word of God, and you have opportunity to literally sit at the feet of Jesus and hear from His Word. And when as Jesus is teaching all of these things over the next few chapters, there's only one posture that is appropriate when Jesus is speaking, and that is to sit at Jesus' feet. And that's why Luke put this story right here and watched as Mary sat at his feet. He's going to teach us a lot. Jesus will teach us a lot over these next few chapters. But before Jesus starts teaching us all these things, we have to make a decision that learning from Jesus is more important than anything, and it takes priority. 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 First thing first is really what that should say. Learning from Jesus is the first thing. Mary shows us that. Martha's life, on the other hand, shows us this. It shows us what life looks like when we don't put the big rock first. Martha is an illustration of a life that is serving Jesus and doing everything else for Jesus except sit at his feet. We're going to find out what that looks like. Look in verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So Jesus comes into this village. Luke doesn't tell us where it is, but we know it's Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha live. We don't know if this is the first time Mary and Martha met Jesus personally, but we do know that throughout their time, they get to know Jesus very well, and they get to become very close friends with Jesus. By the time Lazarus dies and is rose again, he's very familiar with Jesus, very good friends. And Jesus comes to this house several times. So we don't know if this is the first time he was there or not. What we do know is this, is they both called him Lord. They both love Jesus. Mary loves Jesus. Martha loves Jesus. Both of them recognize he is the Son of God. He's the Messiah that takes away the sin of the world. Both of these ladies are saved. Okay? And they come, and Jesus is coming. So whatever it is, whether they're just meeting for the first time, that's exciting, or they know him very well and Jesus is coming. And by the way, I want to tell you this. The first time you come to church, that's very exciting. But every time you come to church, every time you hear the Word of God, every time you get to worship the Lord with His people, every time you get to sing praises to Him, it ought to be something exciting to you. So He comes. And Jesus is here. It's very, very exciting. And it says that Martha received Jesus into her house, is what it says. Now what that means is probably she's either a widow, or her father is not, because that's not typical language for it to be the woman's house. It's usually the man there. So probably she's living alone, or maybe just her and Mary, whatever it is. But whatever it is, she's the one responsible. Typically the host is the man of the house, and he's responsible for making sure everything is good. But she has responsibility here, and it is her responsibility to take care of Jesus and make sure he's taken care of. Hospitality was a big deal on that day. It was a huge deal in Israel's day. And by the way, do you remember when the 70 were sent out? What did Jesus say? He said, you go to these towns, and when you go to that town, if they receive you into their house, stay there. And if they receive you into their house, you preach the gospel. And so what Martha's doing is very important, isn't it? Receiving him into the house, serving Jesus. Very, very important. Very important. She receives him into the house. Verse 39, and we read it. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's how it goes. Jesus comes into the house. Martha receives him. Here's your bed. Here's where we'll eat. All of these things are happening. And then Jesus, like he does, immediately, the teacher does this in the Bible, sits down. And when the teacher sits down, that means everybody else comes and listens. He sat down, Mary, presumably up to this point helping, but notices Jesus sat down. And so Mary comes to his feet, and she's ready to listen. And Martha, she gets up and starts continuing buzzing around the house, you see. And Jesus is teaching. Now, you have to know it's not just Jesus, it's all his disciples. So Jesus is there teaching the 12. Can I say it like this? Church is in session, right? The disciples are the first church. And they're all gathered together to hear the word of God. That's church, isn't it? Church is in session. So Mary comes and sits down. She wants to hear from Jesus. Mary's big rock is hearing from Jesus. And when Jesus is teaching, she's dropping everything and she's going to come hear what Jesus has to say. The God of the universe is in her house, teaching. That's amazing. She sits down. Martha doesn't. Look at verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Pause. What does that mean? Cumbered means overwhelmed, stressed out. Hey, there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with serving Jesus. But when serving Jesus becomes the big rock, your priorities are out of line. When you do things that Jesus wants you to do, and you make that more important than hearing from him, your priorities are out of line. I hear it all the time. People say this. I love God. I read my Bible. I tell people about God, but I'm not coming to church. I'm telling you, you're getting it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Your priorities rattle. You can do anything you want, but Jesus' priority is hearing from Him. You see it? And you can do that, and you might sincerely love the Lord, but what I'm telling you is, your life is going to be like this, cumbered, overwhelmed, frustrated. So Martha has her priorities out of line. I'm sorry, yeah, Martha. Martha has her priorities out of whack. So she's cumbered. And when your priorities get out of line, your attitude starts getting out of line. You know what she does? Look what she does. And came to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care? And questions Jesus. The God of the universe, does he care? Yes, he cares. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get frustrated with Martha right here. She's not coming to hear Jesus' teaching. She thinks what she's doing is more important than hearing from Christ. Now she's demanding him. Now she's questioning him. And then she says this. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And now she's commanding Jesus to do something about this. She didn't have to do that. But she's not thinking right. She thinks she's serving God. But instead, she's not listening to him. And because she's not listening to him, she's beginning to treat Christ in a way that she ought not. She could have just came. You can imagine, you know, Jesus sitting here, the disciples sitting there. Martha could have just kind of snuck out of the kitchen and got behind Jesus. And Mary, you know, she could have done all that, but she didn't. She wasn't thinking. Her priorities are out of whack. Everything's out of whack. And she is commanding our Lord to tell Mary to get off her bottom and come into the kitchen with me and help. You know, when we make our priorities out of whack, here's where she is in her mind. Jesus, I'm trying to help. Jesus, I'm trying to serve you. Jesus, you're important to me. I'm trying to do what you want, and everything is difficult, and nothing is fitting. And Jesus, you said if I follow you, there'll be peace. You said if I follow you, things will work out. Well, I'm trying to follow you, and it's not working out. And Jesus says, you're not following me the way I said. Big rock first. See? And then she points fingers at Mary, right? Because Mary's not helping. And when we have our priorities out of whack, we start thinking about God wrong and think he needs to take care of all of our problems and fix everything for us. When really the problem isn't, you know, there's only one problem here. You're not talking with God. You don't have a walk with God. You're trying to serve God, but you don't know God well. It doesn't work. Meanwhile, others who have a walk with God, their life can be falling apart. They can have a health crisis. They can have everything going wrong and have perfect peace. Because peace doesn't come from all the rocks lining up the way you think it should. Peace comes one way, knowing God well. Knowing God well. Knowing God well. And so she is demanding and questioning God, and now she's being rude to those who are doing right. I love what Jesus says. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, I'm thinking Jesus needs to take care of this. No one speaks to Jesus this way. I think I'd be a lot like Peter right here, you know. Peter's probably like frustrated. Like, hey, listen, lady. He's trying to think. And you know what she does? He's teaching. He's sitting down. Mary is there listening. So Martha comes in and interrupts the lesson, you know, questions Jesus, demands Jesus. No way. This isn't going to work. But here's what Jesus does. He doesn't blow her up. He doesn't blow her up. You know why? Because Jesus recognizes she is trying. She loves him. She's not trying to be rude. She's not trying to get these things all out of whack. She's doing her best, but she's stressed out. So Jesus is going to correct her lovingly here. Here's what he says. Martha, Martha. Now, when you use a word twice in the Greek, it's called a double vocative. Okay? You don't have to remember that. Just know this. That means sincerity, emotion, care. Jesus says, Martha, I'm seeing what you're doing. I love you. Here's what he says. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. So we've already saw she's cumbered. I mean, she's overwhelmed. She's careful. That means she's anxious. She's troubled. That means she's inner turmoil. Everything's going wrong for Martha. Why? Well, there's only one thing. Look for verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus says, I'm not going to send Mary out of here. In fact, Martha, what you should be doing is sitting next to Mary. You see? Because, and Jesus is, you can hear it, right, in the tone. Thank you, right? Thank you for being hospitable. Thank you for serving. Thank you for doing these things for me. Those are all good things, right? Those are all good things. Not bad, but only one thing is needful, Martha. Some of you are here today trying to serve God, and you come to church, right? And you maybe even tell people about Jesus. I don't even know. You serve God. You try to get a ministry. Maybe you try to, you know, sing in the choir. You're an usher, whatever it is, and you serve and you serve and you help people and you do all these things that God says to do. And you're like, why am I frustrated? Why am I overwhelmed? Why am I anxious? Why am I troubled? And Jesus is looking at you this morning. He says, thank you. Thank you for serving. No, thank you for being in ministry. Thank you, choir members. We ought to praise God that way in the song. Thank you for those who mow the lawn. Thank you for cleaning. Thank you. Thank you. But these things flow out of the big rock. You don't serve Jesus until you get to know him. You get to know Jesus, and then you serve him. You see? And sometimes we think if we do these, it can add up to a big rock. It's not how it works. These things are not needed. There's only one thing that is needed, and that's knowing God. Hey, the Israelites were good at their masters at this. They're masters at serving in the temple and doing all of the things. And Jesus says, your lips are for me, but your hearts are far from me. And sometimes we serve God, but we don't know him well. We do things for God, but we don't spend any time with him. And we come to church, and we do the church thing, but we're not listening. See? We might even read our Bibles. Why? Because that's something you do. Reading your Bible every day comes out of your desire to know him. If you just read your Bible and make it another one of the important Christian things you do, a lot of us aren't even trying this. A lot of us are just doing this and we're empty. And we're wondering, why aren't I fulfilled? Why don't I have the joy everyone else has? Why don't I have it? Because you haven't even tried to know God as a person. You're just doing all the godly things and hoping that everything turns out okay. But it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it. This is what you need. You can quit every ministry until you get this right first. But you know what will happen? If you get this right, there's going to be a desire to serve God. And there's going to be a desire to read your Bible and really pay attention. There's going to be a desire to tell people about Christ. And you're going to start doing all of these important things. And you're going to love your family well. And you're going to be a good father. And you're going to be a good sister or brother or whatever. And you're going to start adding all of these things in your life. And you're going to do these. If you love God well, you'll do these before you do all this stuff. But you know, if you start following God and you start loving Him well and you start serving Him, all of a sudden you have time to do all these things and it's okay. These things are okay. You can have fun. You can do things like this, but not until you first do this. You see? How are we doing? God is the big rock. There are things that you need to put on the schedule and leave them there, and they are sacred ground. You need to read your Bible every day. But don't just do it so you can check a mark and text your group that says, hey, I did it. You want to read your Bible every day because you love God and you want to know Him. Him. You want to know Him. Whenever the doors are open at this church house right here, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm just going to be fully honest with you. If knowing Jesus is your big rock, you will be here whenever you possibly can. Because Jesus is going to sit down and tell you the Word of God. There's nothing more important in your life than learning the Word of God. Hearing His, isn't that what Jesus says? The big rock is hearing His Word. If you don't make being in a church service and hearing the Word of God priority, I am telling you, you might have a lot of other things going on, but you will be frustrated and you will be anxious and you will be overwhelmed and you will wonder why. And it's because you have never made the first thing first. First thing first. You seen it? First thing first. Your family ought to know this. Don't mess with me before 8 in the morning because I'm spending time with God, or whatever your time is. This is my time with God. I'm doing it. Now, things come up, right? But you make a decision. I will spend time with God this time. Your family should know this. From 9:30 to noon, and from 6 to 7:30-ish, I'm at church. If you schedule a family thing, I won't be there. This is a family thing. This is good, but it's not more important than this. If there's a family barbecue, if there's a work meeting, don't schedule it on Sunday. Sunday's God's day. Your family should know that. Your friends should know that. We're not going to go hang out from 9:30 to noon and from 6 to 6:30 on Sundays. Wednesdays from 7 to 8, I'm in church. Why? Because the most important thing on planet Earth is happening. The Word of God is being taught. It is the big rock. You see it? Now don't misunderstand me. Church attendance is not the big rock. Checking box, being on the roll, is not the big rock. Hearing from God is the big rock. Basketball is not the big rock. Soccer is not the big rock. Baseball is not the big rock. These are things that get in the way of the big rock. Family reunions are not the big rock. There's one big rock. And it is hearing from God. Now, you and God need to get with this. I'm not going to be the police here and chase you down. But I am telling you this. Hearing from God, there's nothing on planet Earth more important than learning from Almighty God. And in your devotions in the morning, you got to do them. You got to do them. You got to do them. Non-negotiables. You got to do it. Things come up. You wake up late. All right, figure it out. Do it later in the day. But you got to make these things happen. Because if we don't, if we just kind of float through life, we'll be like the CEO who's doing nothing but emails and random meetings and this and that. And then the company crumbles because it's not, because the company is not there to answer emails all day. It's there to do its purpose. Right. Or we'll be the family who has all these good intentions about loving each other and being together, but never ever spending time with each other because we've allowed all the things to come up because we never set any things in stone. We never put the first rocks in there. We never made those. It's almost like monuments in your week. You see. These aren't moving. The landscape can move around these things. But these are the first things. And they will be first. If you do that, here's what you'll find. You'll find peace. You'll find fulfillment. Hey, you're still going to have problems. But it'll be okay because you got the first thing. You're doing what you were created to do. You see? First things first. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you gave it to us. And God, we're thankful, Lord, of the time that we live in, that we have access to your word at any moment. God, we can, at any moment, open it up and hear from you that way. And God, I'm thankful that we live in a country where we can freely come and hear your word proclaimed. And God, help us to make it a priority in our life to hear from you. Not just important, not just something we really, really care about, but make it priority, make it non-negotiable. Knowing you, hearing from you, growing in your word. Lord, there's many in here this morning who are anxious. Many who are feeling overwhelmed, burdened. God, many who are troubled. And they look at their life and they don't understand. Why? What's causing this? Really one problem. Help us, God, to make knowing you priority number one. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you personally as Savior, they've never known what it is to walk with you because they don't know you yet. God, they haven't had their sins forgiven, and because of that, they're separate from you. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would take a hold of their heart, help them to see their need of you. We love you. Christ is my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand up.